waiting is hard, especially for Americans, because we are living in a very consumeristic society where there are a whole bunch of companies, organizations, groups, and people wanting to sell their products to us. And in order to sell those products, they make everything very appealing, and they make their messages very sensationalistic so that we buy into whatever product or whatever ideology that they want to sell right away. Therefore, they don't want us to really think about our action. They want us to immediately react and get appealing and get attracted and make a decision right away, right? And that's why waiting seems to be very un-American or somehow very unnatural for us nowadays, because we want it and we want it our way. Like Burger King, or just do it, man, like Nike and other things, right? You know, we hear all these things enticing us, appealing to us, and wanting us to make decisions right away. Decisions that chase after a parent, appealing, or hedonistic happiness that are very temporary, that comes and goes, but really are very vain and empty. After we get whatever we want, we still feel empty, and the next best things are out, right? There's always the next best thing. There's always something that's newer, something quote-unquote better. So therefore, we keep chasing and chasing and chasing. But in reality, my brothers and sisters, there are things in our life that are worth waiting for, especially things that are real. Think about it. In a relationship, we're willing to wait because we love the other person. And that's why Advent is the season of waiting. There are two pivotal seasons in the life of the church. Christmas, the nativity of the Savior, and Easter, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ. For these two pivotal seasons in salvation history, the church give us two preparatory seasons of waiting and growing in our desire, our love, our commitment, our identity, and our everything for Christ Jesus. And so we're living in Advent, and the word Advent itself means preparation, waiting, anticipation. So what are we waiting for? So we're not waiting for the next best things. We're not waiting in the very consumeristic mentality or approach. We're waiting for someone. We're waiting for our love. And that's why in all the readings today, it doesn't really talk about Jesus and Christmas that we would have hoped. It talked about Christ's second coming. And this is what Advent is about. Preparation for our final face-to-face encounter with Christ. Christ will come to us in a very unique, very unexpected way. Because each and every one of us will have our expiration date. And are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we willing? And are we hopeful when we encounter Christ, when we see Him again, or whenever times comes, we finally said, "Oh no, God, I'm not ready. I gotta live my life. I haven't done this. I haven't done that." You know, none of us can prepare for the future. None of us can control the future. None of us can ever know what might happen tomorrow. And it's irritate us, it's irk us, because we want to be in control. And that's why the first week of Advent today, as we see the first candle being lit, we are being reminded of the virtue of hope. What does hope mean? Hope is an act of the will. We have to will to hope. We have to will to hope as we anchor ourselves. As we anchor ourselves in the faithfulness of Christ Jesus. By looking back into our life, what God had done for us and how He had loved us. That's why the virtue of hope in Christian imagination and artwork had always been portrayed as an anchor, because hope anchors ourselves in the unfailing, everlasting, unchanging love of God. My brothers and sisters, this world will try to pull us all apart. And if we do not anchor ourselves in Christ, we will be lost, because we will be pulled each and everywhere by the next best things, by whatever people say, and we just become a chaser of popular opinions, of passing happiness, but we have never have hope. Working as a chaplain in our military environment, I have seen a lot of hopeless people, because our military, and even in the professional world, we have taught people to be the best that they can be, but very self-dependent. If you do your best, if you try your best, you should be good. But we all have our own breaking points. We all have our own limitation. We all have our own weaknesses. And if we only depend on ourselves, there will be times that we have nothing else to give. And hopelessness kick in, which lead us to despair, which lead us spiral down with many negative and many destructive decisions in our lives. Look at our society. Because our society has become so hopeless, more violence are happening, more shooting, the opioid epidemic is going on. Why? People are empty, people are vain, people are chasing after the things that society is telling them to be successful, to have everything. But yet, they're hopeless. They don't know who they are. They drift like a leaf down by the current, by the water of life. They don't know who they are. They're lost. They're hopeless. They live in a life that chase after vanity, after so-called human happiness. But yes, they're filled with despair and presumption. Presumption in thinking that if I have things my way, if I have done this or that, then I should be good. We presume that we're in control. We presume of God's goodness because, oh yeah, God loved me. Therefore, He will do whatever I want Him to, and I get to do whatever I want. But we have not known who we are. We resumed. And that presumption makes us more self-centered. And when we're more self-centered, we have become more despaired. But hope helps us to get above all of that. To truly believe in God and to truly give ourselves to Him by anchoring our life on Him. Our eternal life is worth waiting for. Becoming disciples of Christ is worth waiting for. There are certain things in life that are worth waiting for, especially things that are based on love. If we truly love Christ Jesus, we will wait for him. And during this this period of waiting, we will grow, we will deepen, and we will discover his will for our lives. Because hope is real, it's not wishy-washy. We don't say that I hope that Jesus is going to do something for me, just like we say, oh, I hope that I'm going to win the lottery. No. Hope is real, because hope reminds us that Christ is faithful because of what he had done to us, and he cannot lie to himself because he had laid down his life for me, for you, for us. He truly loved us, and therefore we can wait in hope and grow in hope for him. So don't chase after sensational, immediate gratification. Don't fill our life with more things. But for this week, grow in hope by allowing Christ to deepen our desire, not only for the things of this world, but of the things that are of eternal values that give us life. May our Advent journey begin and be strengthened with the virtues that the church will teach us for the next 4 weeks. But most important of all, as we begin Advent, let us begin well, preparing ourselves for Christmas as well for Christ's second coming deep within our heart, learning how to trust by putting our hope in him.